All right, as they're making their way out, I want us to open our Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4. Revelation, chapter number 4. I'm just going to read two verses as we start, as we continue with our series, The Elishas of God. Revelation, chapter number 4, I'll read from verse 1. Revelation, chapter number 4, I'll read from verse 1. Revelation is so easy to locate. It's just the last book of the Bible. Chapter 4 from verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. I'll repeat that, saying, come up here. And I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, this morning as we gather around your word, we ask that you breathe upon your word once again. Let this word come alive unto us. Let there be light shining from heaven into the recesses of our hearts. Let there be illumination, O God. I ask that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people, my brethren. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint my tongue also, O Lord, and make it like the tongue of the pen of a ready writer. Lord, think through my mind this morning and speak through my mouth so that all of us together, with the speaker and the hearer, will have been tremendously blessed by your word. Spirit of the living God, do your work. Do only what you can do in our heart as we share God's word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say a big amen. Praise God. So we continue with our series, Elishas of God. And this morning, specifically, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled, There is More to be Seen. There is more to be seen. You know, whenever we go into the book of Revelation, some of us consider it as a very scary book to start with, you know. We rarely go there. But we're going to use that as a springboard for our teaching this morning. Now, to experience the impossible, it is important that we need to perceive the invisible. In order for us to begin to experience the impossible, we must be ready to begin to perceive the invisible. Now, I have come to realize more often than not that the problem we have as believers is not that we see what we ought not to see, but that we do not see what we ought to see. And I want you to follow me very carefully as I teach on this, please, because it's very key and very pivotal to our life as believers. The problem we often face as believers is not that we see what we ought not to see, but that we do not see what we ought to be seen. For instance, the problem some of us have is not that we see the loss of a job. The problem that we have is not that we see the crisis in our marriage. The problem we have is not that we see that spouse of ours is moving further and further away from God. The problem we have is not that we see that our health is deteriorating week in, week out. The real and the true problem is that we do not see the things that we ought to see. Because when we see the things that we ought to see, the things that we see that seems to be causing us confusion and trouble will melt away. Just stay with me, people of God. Just stay with me. Now, Our experience is what we see, but that's not all that is to be seen. Our troubles in life is what we see, but that's not all that it is to be seen. Our struggle, you know, in our family is what we see and what we consider the problem, but that's not all that is to be seen. There is more to be seen that we see. And the problem, like I said, is not that we see what we ought not to see, but that we do not see the things that we ought to see. Now, as a believer, if all of what we require, or if all that we depend upon to live our life is predicated on what we see on the physical, we have lost the battle right from the beginning, even ever before the battle begins. Because what it takes to win the battle of life is more than what we see and we can perceive with our physical senses. Now, the passage we have just read, or the two verses that we have just read, talks about the encounter that John had with the angel at the Isle of Patmos. And that passage says, "Come up here. Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Come up here, and I will show you the things that," underline the word, "must take place after this." And the Bible says in verse 2, "Immediately I was in the Spirit." Now, the call to come higher is a call to see better. When the call to come higher comes to us as believers, it is an invitation to a platform where we can see better, where we can see clearer. I don't know if you have attended any occasion, any community event with your kids in the past. And then when you get there, your kids also want to see what's taking place in front. But because they're at this level, they're not able to appreciate what's taking place in front. So they'll ask daddy or mommy, "Daddy, please help me. I need to see what's taking place in the front." And when they say "help me," they're not saying you should be relaying the situation to them. What they are saying is, "Pick me up. Get me up to a level and a platform where I can begin to appreciate what is taking place over there." And as you take the child and put them on your head or on your shoulder, depending on how strong and how muscular you are, your child will start to beam with smile. Why? Because he or she is now able to see better, see clearer, perhaps even see farther, because there is an elevation of his or her platform. Now, the angel of the Lord said, "Come up here." Why? I want to show you some things that must take place that you don't have an idea of now. You can't see it now. So our trouble is not that we experience that loss of job. Our trouble is not that we experience that marriage crisis. Our real trouble is not that we have experienced a loss in our life or we are going through some terrible experience. Our problem, the real problem, is not those things that we see. It's the fact that we don't see the things about those situations that we ought to see. And the only way to see those things in proper perspective is to come up. Is to come up. And what does it mean to come up? Is to be in the Spirit. Verse 2 says, "Immediately I was in the Spirit." I was in the Spirit. Why? Because at the realm of the Spirit is a higher platform for us to see things better and to see things clearer. Until we get and ascend to that platform, all we see is the immediate. For us to see what must come forth after this, like it says in verse 1, there has to be a change of platform. There has to be an elevation from where we are. So it is a call this morning. It is a call for us to come up here. It is to come up here. And come up here means to come into the platform of the spiritual, because we are spirit beings. Now, I don't want us to stay a long time in making sure that we understand that what we see is not all that is what we see is just part, a tip of what actually is. You've heard of the tip of the iceberg before. Medical science tells us that nine parts out of 10 of the iceberg is actually submerged below the sea. So what you see on the surface is just a tip, a microcosm, as it were, of what actually exists. So what we see, what we feel, what we smell, what we taste, they are just a part of the whole. And for us to appreciate the whole, there has to be a coming up into the spirit realm. Are you following me, people of God? There has to be a coming up, a change of platform and pedestal to see the entire picture. So that's why I said the problem is actually not the problem that we see. The problem is the fact that we do not see what we ought to see. Now, and I'll just show you through the story of a young man in the scriptures what exactly I am talking about. What we have here is a contention that takes place between the physical and the spiritual. And more, unfortunately, of us, 21st century believers, we are being caged into the milieu of the physical. More and more. We only see it to the extent to which the retina in our eyes can see. We only appreciate it to the extent to which the gray and the white matter in our brain can comprehend. But there is more to life than what we see. There is more. And until we come up to this platform where we begin to see the entire picture, unfortunately, we will keep losing battles. Unfortunately. And that's why the call to us this morning is, come up here. Please say it with me. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. That's the word of God to us. Come up here. I want to show you things that must take place. Now, there is this story of a young man, and I would just want us to turn there in 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Second Kings chapter number 6, I'll read from verse number 8. All right, 2 Kings chapter number 6, I'll read from verse 8. Now, this is the story. For those of us who enjoy stories, you know, I do, you know, fascinating, beautiful stories in the scriptures, and we're going to read one of them today. 2 Kings chapter number 6 from verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus, he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, verse 11, therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, not my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words which you speak in your bedroom. That's scary. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. This is a word that some of us need to write and keep somewhere and paste it somewhere, you know, that we can see on a daily basis. It says, verse 16 again, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There is more to be seen. There is more to be seen. That story actually took place. And let me just summarize what happened. You know, the Syrians, the nation of Syria, was at a time always coming to assault the children of Israel, the people of Israel, now the people of the northern kingdom. Remember, they have now divided into two, the ten tribes in the northern kingdom and the two tribes in the southern kingdom, which was referred to as the Judah. Now, and the Syrians will come in what we refer to as a guerrilla fashion. So they would just come and invade the border towns and go. So it wasn't really a full-fledged a battle. It was just an opportunistic battle. So they would just come and attack a particular city or town in the border around Israel, and they would go and carry away their things and their people. You remember there was this young girl that we spoke about, I think last week, when we were talking about him, when we were talking about Naaman. The girl that we refer to, who actually spoke to his master Naaman, that there was a prophet in Israel, Elisha, was taken in one of those guerrilla, you know, attack. So they would just come and just raid a particular town, and before the military forces of Israel will, you know, would be alerted, they would have gone back to Syria. So that was the kind of fashion that they were using. That was the kind of tactic that they were using to attack Israel at that time. And even till today, guerrilla fashion of warfare is one of the most difficult to actually confront, because you don't know when they will come. And they always take advantage of your lack of knowledge or of your ignorance of the fact that they will come. So that was what the king of Syria was doing. So they will strategize and talk about a particular town that they want to go and attack and invade, and they will do so. Now, but the problem in this particular instance is that as soon as they are talking about it and they are deliberating on attacking a particular town, Elisha would have known in Israel. And Elisha would have sent somebody to the king to inform him that there is an attack being planned on this particular side of your territory. And so what the king of Israel will do was that he will not go there, and more importantly, he will have fortified the town, you know, send military forces into the town. So by the time the Syrians will come and invade the land, they will discover that something has changed between the time they collected their, you know, they did their survey and they collected their information and the time that they are coming to attack the land. So it did not happen just once or twice. It happened severally that they had planned to attack point A, and by the time they will have perfected their military strategy to attack that part of the nation of Israel, they would discover that there is now military presence there. They were not supposed to be there, you know. They will now see the army of Israel, you know, around that town. And then it happened several times. And the king of Syria felt, we've got a traitor amidst us. Somebody is here who is kind of divulging the secret that we have planned or our strategy to the people of Israel. So who is that? Hold up now. And one of the servants said, no, there's no traitor around us. There's just one problem that we have. And you can be sure that problem is not even in Syria. The problem is in Israel. And the problem is the man called Elisha. Because when you are thinking about it in your bedroom, he knows about it. You know, hundreds of miles away, he knows about it already. So while you are still thinking and perfecting your strategy, he knows about it. And he's the one that is kind of informing the king Of course, the king of Syria was, let's take him out. You know, let's take his informant out of the equation so that we can have a free day invading Israel. And so he sent his army to Elisha, to Elisha's place. Elisha at that time was living in a town or in a city called Dothan. Dothan was about 20 kilometers, 12 miles away from Samaria. Samaria is actually the seat of power in Israel. Samaria was the capital of Israel. So Dothan was about 12 miles away from Samaria. I hope you're not mixing them up. Syria is the country. Samaria is the city in Israel. Okay? All right. So so they came, and they surrounded the city. Perhaps they came at night waiting for the day to dawn, and then they would go in and take Elisha for whatever, maybe to imprison him or to kill him, just get him out of the equation. Now, and the servant of Elisha happened to come out early that morning, and he saw a problem. The problem he saw was that he saw that his entire city, not just their whole house, but the entire city was already surrounded by this, fierce-looking army from Syria. And he panicked, like any normal person will do, He panicked. And he ran back to Elisha. We're in trouble. We're in great crisis. What are we going to do? We are finished, There is no escape. The entire city is already overtaken, it has already been surrounded by this army. And that's exactly our state as people, But Elisha was calm, cool, collected. And Elisha said, you don't know something. What you know is what is causing the trouble. But your greater trouble is the fact that you don't see some things that you ought to see. Now, when the servant saw the problem or the army of Syria, that was all he was able to see. And that's why I said when I was making my opening statement, your problem, our problem, is not that we see what we ought not to see. No one wants to see trouble. No one wants to see danger. No one wants to see the invasion of an army. No one wants to see death. No one wants to see loss of job. But that is actually not the trouble. The trouble and the problem, the real problem, is that we don't see some things that we ought to see. Because if you see those things that you, or if you see those things that you ought to see, you will sleep. You will be settled. Now, so Elisha said, what you see is not your problem. What you don't see is your problem. And I will help you out. And the Bible says, and he prayed that the eyes of that man be opened, the eyes of the servant be opened. And that's my prayer for all of us tonight, this morning, that our eyes will be opened. We will come up to a pedestal of the spirituals and begins to see the things we ought to see. Because when you see the magnitude of the things that are in your support in the realm of the spirit, you will sleep. And the Bible says, the Lord opened the eyes of the servant of Elisha, and he saw. And he saw. He first said that they that are with us are more than they that are with them. Somebody will say, that's just a wishful thinking. That's just a faith man just trying to psych people up. That's the way it will appear to any one of us. Somebody is facing major difficult financial crisis, and you say, no, don't worry, the Lord is able. His supply is more than enough. And you say, no, you're just trying to be funny. We are talking about real problem. We're talking about real tangible problem, and you're talking about all those gibberish stuff in your Bible. But that's because the guy has not come to the platform where he can see what he ought to see. Now, let me ask you this question. When the servant of Elisha saw the forces of heaven, the Bible says the mountains around them were filled with chariots and with horsemen of fire. Now, when he saw that, do you think he would still panic? No. As a matter of fact, If he was feeling sleepy before, he would just go back to bed and cover himself. Why? Because he knows he is sorted. He is settled. Because he's able to see the things that have been deployed on his behalf. Now, that's why I said that the trouble is not really the trouble that we see. The trouble is the provision that we do not see. Our problem is not the confronting situation that we see. Our problem is the assured victory that we don't see. Is that making sense to somebody? If we are able to ascend into the platform of the spiritual, into the platform of the spirit rather, and see the victory that the Lord has packaged for us to deal with the problem, then our heart will be at rest. Our heart will be at rest. This morning, people of God, I want to challenge you as a person to come up here, to leave this platform for the people that it belongs to. This belongs to the natural. It belongs to the people of the world. They operate by the senses. That's the way they don't, you know, the highs that has been given to us is so that we don't bump on people. That's not the way we live and pattern our lives. We can't pattern our lives by this, you know, big stuff, you know, two of them are put in our socket. That's just so that you don't bump on people and you don't drive and go and hit. That's just, but it's not the instrument to direct and dictate the pace of your life. It was never intended for that. That's why I said, let's come up and begin to see the... Now, let me ask you this question. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus and his disciples, and they were going to cross the river. And Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. I believe it's Mark chapter 4. Let's go to the other side. And they were over the sea, over the river, or over the water, and they were going, and there arose this mighty storm, you know. And they panicked, like any normal person will do. They panicked. And after a while, they didn't see Jesus, you know, coming up to help them, you know, in their panicky stuff, you know. Because when you are panicking, you expect every other person around to be dancing around the same way you do. You know, that's going to show a sign of support. But they didn't see Jesus do that. And they felt this man must be so inconsiderate. He wasn't even paying attention to her. I mean, what if we all perish? And they came to him and said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Now, at that time, let me ask you, what is actually their problem? Now, if you look at it on the surface, you will say the problem is the raging storm. But I beg to disagree with you. The problem was never the raging storm. The problem was that they did not realize the caliber of the person that they had in the boat. Because if they knew the kind of person that was in the boat with them, they would know that that boat was unsinkable. It's the creator that was in the boat with them. No forces on earth, combined the military forces of the whole earth, could have been able to sink that boat that day because the master was with them. As a matter of fact, they were at the point of their safest position they will ever be in life at that point in time, even in the raging storm. Why? Because there was somebody with them that honed and created everything. Now, they saw the problem, but they failed to see the solution. Now, it was not the problem of the raging storm that was actually their problem. Their problem was not being able to see the solution already provided, because Jesus being on the boat with them was the solution. So, exactly the same way it is to us, you know, many of us will cry out unto God, God, just change this situation. just get me out of this trouble, you know. And we see the mighty army spiritually or emotionally or whatever the case may be against us. And we panic. We panic. You know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to finish this program? How am I going to ever, you know, get out of this trouble? But Jesus is saying to us this morning, come up here. Come up here. Because there is something more that you ought to see that you are not seeing. Elisha was perfectly in control. He had no trouble. He had no concern at all, because he knew the forces that were with them was much more than the forces that was against them. So, people of God, my challenge to you this morning and to every one of us is, let's live the way we are created. We are created spirit beings. So let's live in that capacity. You know, there are three sets of people that the Bible recognizes, if we want to go by the standard of what is written in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. There is what we call the natural man, a natural man. And there is what we call a spiritual man. You know, and there is what we call a carnal man. Those are the three kind of men represented, recognized as it were, by the scriptures. And those three set of people are actually present here in this particular instance. A natural man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. He who is spiritual judges all things. So you have a natural man and you have a spiritual man. But there is another man, another set of people. The Bible calls them the carnal man. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. It refers to them as a carnal man. Now, who is a carnal man? Now, it's not difficult for us to understand who is a natural man is. A natural man is a man that has an unregenerated spirit. He does not have his spirit connected with his maker. He dwells and lives and operates at the level of the senses. He does not have the capacity to connect with the Spirit of God. Not that he does not want to. He does not just have that capacity. Why? Because his spirit is still not regenerated. He's still in darkness. That's a natural man. Now, of course, we know who a spiritual man is. A spiritual man is a man who has been who is alive in the spirit, who is vibrant, and the activities of the spirit make sense to him. Why? Because he has developed himself to a platform that he can interact with the Spirit of God. His own spirit man has been developed to overcome the senses of his physical flesh so that he is able to interact with the things that operate above this level. He's a man that you can say he has attained to what when the Bible says come up, he's already up in that sense. All right? But we have a third set of people, or the third set of man. And this is what I fear, that many of us will actually perhaps even find ourselves in this category. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they call them the carnal man. Now, who is a carnal man? A carnal man already has his spirit man regenerated. He has the capacity to engage with the spirit. He has the capacity to build his spirit man to the point that he begins to see things from the realm of the spirit. But he has just not done that. So he operates just like a natural man. Not because he does not have the capacity, but because he has not connected and developed that capacity. So that's a carnal man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we have a spiritual man, you have a natural man, and you have a carnal man. Now, what happens to us when we get born again is that our spiritual capacity to connect with God was given to us. We become born again. We become born into the family of God. Now, but, and this is a big one, but we can choose to still continue to operate our life at the level of the natural, even though we have the capacity to be able to operate at the level of the spiritual. And that's what we call carnality. Carnality is having the ability to be at the realm of the spirit, but choosing to remain in the realm of the natural. And that's the problem, people of God, because that's the point and that's the situation that many of us, unfortunately, find ourselves. We have that capacity, we have that potential, but we just choose not to develop that potential. We choose, rather, to stay with the natural. And so when we confront situations and troubles, rather than ascending higher to see it the way God sees it, and begin to have our eyes of the understanding, the spiritual eyes, to see things, we look at it at the level of the natural. The problem with that is this. The end result for a carnal man And for a natural man, it's exactly the same in terms of their victory in life, unfortunately. You get the difference? The natural man does not have the capacity to engage with the things of the spirit because his spirit man is not regenerated. It doesn't just have the capacity. It doesn't have the engine, if you want to use that word. A carnal man has the engine, but he has not developed it. So the lot of both of them in life still ends up the same way. So we end up as believers having exactly the same result that natural men around us have. Because we have not engaged, we have not decided to come up hither. And he said, come up hither and I will show you. So this servant of Elisha was a perfect example of a carnal man. You know, Elijah was a symbol, as it were, of a spiritual man. You know, the servant of Elisha happened to be a symbol of a carnal man. And the forces of Syria are just natural men. If you read that story further, you'll be amazed what happened to them. You know, we don't have the time. But what happened to them was, Elisha, when they came to Elisha, you know, Elisha just prayed for the young man that, Lord, open his eyes so that he will see. This man was already, in our own understanding, was not blind. He wasn't blind. Because if he was blind, he wouldn't have seen the forces against him and the forces against them, rather. So he wasn't really blind in the sense of seeing. But there is a seeing that ought to take place that he was not able to partake of, and that was his problem. There is a scene, there is a sight, as it were, that is more than the way you guys are looking at me. There is a scene beyond that. The way I'm looking at you, there is a scene beyond that. And if I continue to see you just the way I'm seeing you, I'm in trouble, I'm in crisis. Because there is a scene beyond that level. And that was the trouble of this man. Now, Elisha prayed for him and he was able to see. The Bible says he saw the mountains filled with horses and chariots of fire. Let me ask you the question. Were they just created? No. Those forces have been there all along. All along. You know the problem? The man never saw them there. Some of the things that we are going through and we are asking for solution, the solution is there. God has always provided it. But if you don't see it, then you don't stay calm. You don't stay calm. You are jittery. You are anxious. You are worried because you can't just see. All you are fixated upon is how to get rid of this trouble. But God is saying, look at the solution. When you see the solution, you will discover that the solution is more than the problem. Now, let me ask you another question. When the young man saw the chariots of fire upon the mountain that were for them, the spiritual forces that were for them, did the Syrian army, did they suddenly disappear? No, they were still there. So our prayer is that we ask God, Lord, destroy the Syrian army. I don't want to see them. But God is saying, no, you need to see the provision that I've made for you in the realm of the spirit. Because when you see that, the Syrian army will not be your trouble. They are not your problem. What's that to us? Challenges, problems, situations, circumstances will always come. If you have just celebrated getting out of one, I celebrate with you, but plan to receive another very soon. It's just the natural way that this life operates. Okay? Now, so you will never come to a point where there will be no trials, there will be no challenges, there will be no troubles in that sense. Except if you have gone to heaven before us. But while you are still here, there will always be that. Now, what you and I need to concentrate on is to develop our spiritual senses so that we come to a platform that we're able to see beyond what we can see in the natural. To develop our spiritual senses so that we will be able to see the entire picture and not just the raging army of the Syrian. That's what we need to do. And that's what the call of God to us this morning is asking us to do. Let me round up by saying this. The end result for a carnal man, and I don't have the time to go into that, is always the same end result as a natural man. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 82. We'll just see something briefly. Psalm chapter 82, And we'll begin to round up very, very soon. The book of Psalms, chapter number 82. And let's see what the Bible, how the Bible describes the carnal man. I'll read from verse 5. Psalms chapter 82, from verse 5. The Bible says, they do not know the carnal man. Okay? So whatever we're going to read now, just think in your mind, the carnal man. And like I described, the carnal man has the potential to operate at the realm of the spirit, but he chooses to remain in the realm of the physical, in the realm of the natural, because that's just easier. That's cool, you know? And that's what every other person around him operates in. So he just wants to belong to what every other person has chosen to belong to. Okay. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. They have the light in their spirit, but they choose to walk about in darkness. The Bible says, and all the foundations of the heart are unstable. Verse 6, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7 says, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Now, this is what he's saying. I created you to be judges. That's what translated, you know, gods. Talks about, it means ruler. It means a judge, a commander, somebody that is positioned to be in control. That's what I created you to be. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But the Bible says, but you shall die like men, like natural men. Just the same results that the natural man gets. End result of an unbeliever. The same way they panic, the same way they are anxious, the same way they are in crisis, the same way they run helter-skelter when they face trouble. That's just what your lot is going to be like. Not because you are supposed to end that way, but because you don't understand the provision of the Spirit. You have decided not to come up either. And that's what you're going to end that way. But it ought not to be so. Now, let me ask you just this question. Assuming Elisha was not around when these forces came. When the Syrian forces came, would there have been some defense for the servants of Elisha in the form of the chariots of fire and the horsemen in the spirit? I bet you yes. Why? Because he has a connection with the prophet. He has a covenant of promise, just like any other person in Israel. You know, especially because he was a servant of the Most High. He was the servant of the servant of the Most High God. So he has a connection. So he has a protection. In fact, when Elisha was going to say it, he didn't say, those that are with me. You know, he said, those that are with us. So he would still have had those defenses. But I tell you, because he would not have been able to see them, he would probably have run out of the house, or perhaps even he would have gone to the Syrian army and say, just don't trouble yourself. Here are my hands. Just take me. He would just have surrendered to the forces against him, even though he has all the backings of heaven. Now, the heaven will be crying, we are here. You know, we are here. Just deploy us. And I'm afraid that's the situation that many of us have found ourselves. God is saying, you have these forces working, ready to work in your favor, but don't give yourself away to the enemy. And that's the lot of a carnal man. Now, the interesting thing is, when Elisha was going to deal with the situation, he didn't even have the forces of heaven to destroy them. You know, he said, Lord, you just opened a blind man's eyes. The servant of God prayed for his servant. Lord, open his eyes. He said, Lord, I now want you to close the eyes of these ones, make them blind. You know, and it's interesting that when he said make them blind, they did not just, it's not like they went blind in the physical. It's not like they couldn't recognize where they were in that sense. You know, it's not like they went blind the way we know blindness. They could just not recognize Elisha as the person that they have come to arrest. And he took them out of Dothan, took them 12 miles away into Samaria, and they still could not recognize him. until they got into Samaria. You can read the rest of the story. And he said, the Lord now opened their eyes again. Now, and he opened their eyes and they recognized that they are already in Samaria, in the camp, in the midst of the forces of Israel. And the king of Israel said, can I strike them? Can I kill all of them? And Elisha said, you don't need to kill these guys. Just feed them. Give them food and send them back home. And the Bible says, and that was the last time that they will carry out this guerrilla fashion warfare in Israel. People of God, let's come up. That's the purpose of this message. Let's come up. Let's come up. Spiritually, let's begin to engage with the spiritual things. Let's begin to spend quality time engaging with spiritual things. The more we focus on just the physical, the natural, the way the world operates it, the less we get victory in the things in this life. We don't belong here, people of God. We don't belong here. Engage with the angels, the angelic hosts that have been deployed on your behalf. Somebody says, how? In praying. Engage in prayer. Make spiritual things important to you. Create time to engage in them. Because that's who you are before you are this. Before you are flesh, you were created in the image of God as a spirit man. You can't continue to live as a natural man. That's the challenge, people of God. Spend time praying. Spend time fasting. Yes, you heard me well, fasting. Let me tell you this very simply. Spirituality is not a gift. Becoming spiritual is not a gift in the sense. The gift that God gave us is the gift of the Spirit. Developing our spirit man is not a gift. Oh, okay, yeah, that man, yeah, you know, he has just been given the spirit of spirituality or the gift of spirituality. No. You have the same potential to develop like any other person because he's no respecter of persons. But you need to engage with the Spirit. Make spiritual things matter to you. You know, we're not watching soap operas here. We are in a real spiritual warfare. And you must engage with this life from the spiritual perspective. Spend time praying. Deploy the forces of heaven that have been given to you. Fast until your spirit man come alive. You know, spend time with the world. Spend time with the people of God. Engage with them. Come under an atmosphere that is blessed of God. That's the way to come up and not to stay down. People of God, this is the way that we live victorious lives. Our problem, let me say it again, is not the problem that we see. Our problem is the victory, the solution that we don't see. And until you become spiritual, you don't see these things. Until you allow your spirit man to come alive, somebody says, what do you mean by see? I'm not talking about the seeing like you're seeing me physically. I'm not talking about visions and dreams. I'm talking about the ability to tap into the realm of the spirit and receive divine information into your spirit man. You know, by the grace of God, as I walk in day by day with him, by the grace of God, I see my life change in a manner that I'm able to perceive things at a higher level, at a deeper level. I once shared in this church, you know, sometimes ago when all of a sudden I got my boss, came to my office and he gave me a letter. And the letter was not a letter of promotion. It was a letter of, we no longer need your services here. It was a letter of termination. And of course, like any other person, what did I do? What did I go wrong? No. He said, no. It's just that we have lost so much business. We can't cope with paying more. I was in my office and there was a bottle of water here. And I just opened the bottle of water and just poured it on my cup. And I crossed my leg and I was speaking to him. He was shocked. He said, do you need some time to go and... I said, no, I don't need any time. Just give me the letter. I opened it and I read it. I said, okay, thank you. But are you sure that it's just because of business, not that I've done anything wrong? He said, no, you have not done anything wrong. I took it and I went back home. And I spoke to my wife. I said, this is the situation, but the Lord is in control. And let's go for some kind of holidays. It was never planned. We never planned one. But now I'm out of work, so there's plenty of time. So so why not, you know? And we rang around and we got a hotel and we got a place and we said, let's go, let's just go. Why? Why is that so? He that keepeth Israel does not sleep nor slumber. I just had that assurance. There was no letter. There was nobody that had promised me another job. He that keepeth Israel does not sleep, does not slumber. So I had an understanding of that, that my case in God is settled. And a few weeks after, the door opened, you know, and things are going jolly, praise God, you know. This is the way to begin to walk in life. If we walk that level, we will stop panicking and getting confused. Because I can tell you now, the problem that you see in front of you, that you think that when you solve it, then the whole world, everything is solved. As soon as you cross that bridge, there is another one. So if you panic your way out of this problem, you have to get ready to panic again at the next level. And how much of panicking are we going to do in this short period that we have in this side of eternity? Let's get spiritual. Let us pray.